What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
What is Bruh Meets World?
This is an extra kind of episode. This is actually more of a, let's call it a class discussion.
Yeah, it's just a little mini episode. A little mini episode. Chit chat.
Because as you guys know, this week has been full, like to the brim of Boy Meets World news.
My teacup. Overflowing.
So we wanted to give you guys a little rundown of our feelings on all of the things that happened this week. And to that, I say we just jump right in. First things first, 1 year of Pod Meets World.
Yeah, they celebrated their 1 year. That's awesome. When they posted that, I really couldn't believe that it had only been a year. Like, it feels like they... Like, I don't know, like, this podcast has made such a huge difference in our lives that it's kind of hard to, like, think about, like, pre-pod and post-pod. Like, it's hard to separate.
I remember very distinctly when it first came out being like, I don't want to listen to it. I don't want it to influence my opinions on episodes. Sure. And I was right about everything. It has completely influenced how I review, how I think about things. But I'm actually, like... Again, we have been rewarded by its presence, and they have just done a really great job, and I feel like it's breathed new life into the series, into the cast, into our... So, you know, congratulations, 1 year.
You know, everyone keeps saying, oh, you guys should do a reboot series. You guys should, like, do something else, but Pod Meets World kind of is filling that gap for me.
Absolutely.
Far more interested to hear their perspectives as individuals that went through this experience than I would, you know, fictional characters that Michael Jacobs groups together. Like, this to me is like the best way to honor true hardcore fans of the show. So it's been wonderful.
Absolutely. Which leads us to our very next point. Did y'all read a little article in Variety
about Boy
Meets World? That is sarcasm because everyone read that article and it has blown up.
Siege, for those who didn't read the article or don't know what you're talking about, why don't you give them a little background?
Well, the cast of Pod Meets World were interviewed by Variety in an article, and there were some revelations, shall we say.
Some bombs that were dropped, you could say.
The most notable ones being they were asked if they would ever have Michael Jacobs on the show. And we have known about, like, this tension, we'll just call it tension, between Michael Jacobs and the cast for a little bit now. But
you know what? I think everyone who is listening to the Pod Meets World podcast understands the tension. Like, it's there, it's palpable, it's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I actually liked Daniel's idea where they were like, it would be really hard for us to do. It would be kind of heavy, but maybe that would be like the last episode that we did.
Sure.
And I feel like if they did that, it would in fact give them like years of therapy and having like worked through it. So like when you finally meet that final, what is the word I'm looking at? Let's just say
the last boss
challenge. Yeah, the big boss at the end. You're prepared. You've picked up some tools along the way. So I find like that would be very interesting. And I know that he probably has some opinions that he would like to share. So
what I love about what Danielle said was just that, you know, this podcast has become something that they can have ownership of.
Yes.
And I think inviting Michael on would, I don't know, I could see how he would in his own way probably claim ownership over it just because it's the IP he invented. So I kind of like them having that separation. And then finally, like you said at the end, just like after everything we've observed, after everything we worked through, here's where we're at. And like, let's have the discussion. And that, oh my God, I can't wait for that episode.
Yeah, there were a lot. If you haven't read the article, which you should have by now, and if you're listening to us, I guarantee you have. The other bit is that they mentioned that they have, let's just say, been estranged from Ben Savage for quite some time. It's been a few years since they've spoken to him. And from what I read, a lot of the fans feel really sad to hear that these people who grew up together and worked together for so long are no longer in touch.
Well, the big thing that stood out to me was when Will says that he called Ben every single day for months. And he texted him saying, hey, man, we've been through so much. Like, I'm going to keep calling you until you answered. And so finally his wife had to talk to Will and be like, what are you putting yourself through? Yeah. And it was just like, that's heartbreaking in so many ways. And, you know, so many people have messaged us trying to be like, well, I wonder why Ben's doing this. Is it because of his election or whatever? But it's at the end of the day, it's like a phone call. You can't return the text message. Like, I don't know. It's a hard thing to read, especially considering how it's like emotionally impacting this other group that's really forming an amazing bond. And you wish Ben could be a part of that. He might benefit from being a part of that.
I mean, maybe not. Something like I will say, and there has been a lot of conversation about this on like different threads and Reddit and social media. And one thing I will say that someone pointed out is, and the show is very quick to call out, the entire show was put on Ben at a very young age.
Yep.
And maybe it would not be as fun or as easy or as light or as beneficial for him to kind of unearth these revelations in the way that it is for the cast. Because one thing that everyone will agree upon is that he carried that show for a few years. Like, yes, now, especially in our later seasons, we are very big fans of all the other characters and we kind of aren't fans of Corey. But Ben carried that show for the first few seasons. He's like in almost every episode. So there is a world where it's just like, this isn't for me. And the idea that you keep asking me to do something that I don't want to do, isn't you respecting me, you know? Sure. I'm thinking of like the movie that just came out recently, Banshees of Inisherin. Sorry. Have you seen that? Do you know what it's about?
No, but I do know the overall plot of it.
The overall plot is one day someone wakes up and they're just like, I don't want to be friends with this person I've been friends for a while. And it's so funny because my husband and I watched it the other day, and in that movie there's a scene where someone confronts the guy who's like no longer friends with them, and they're like, why? And they go he's annoying. They go, well, he was annoying yesterday. And he goes, yeah, but today I don't have time for it.
And
that's the thing. It's just like, oh, you have the right as a person to be like, I understand that we have a history, but it no longer serves me, and that is your right.
100%. And I think that probably does equate to maybe what's going on with Ben. Who knows?
Okay, so check out the article. Again, we just bombs after bombs after bombs being thrown. The next one. There was a TikTok of Maitland Ward in an interview with the Skinny Confidential podcast. Have you seen it yet?
This I have not seen.
Okay, so there is a link. Click that link, play it for our listeners. And let's check it out together.
I didn't really get any response from anyone. Trina did. She supported me in the beginning. And Will has contacted me since then and says he supports me, but won't watch anything that I do. And actually, Michael Jacobs says he very much supports me. But the rest, I have not heard a word from. I haven't heard like, oh, you're terrible. But I kind of felt like I was just gone from them. We don't want anything to do with you anymore. Especially it was with the Girl Meets World thing. I was the only cast member not to be on the show. And I wasn't even doing at that time. I was just doing my cosplay. Disney definitely was instrumental in not having me back. And I don't think some of the cast wanted me back either to be seen with me, kind of.
We got to talk about it. I have thoughts, but as always, I want to know what you think.
I mean, I can see it. I can see it from just the bond that the other cast seem to have and how she's kind of left out. Wow.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's a lot because I can see how in some ways they probably feel like, you know, her career choices are so drastically different than, say, someone who's trying to get jobs at Disney Channel, that I could see why, like, you know, having that public interaction might be a little damaging. But at the same time, a private conversation is a private conversation. So, yeah, there's things there. I don't know. What do you think?
So here's the thing. I will say, let's consider like the things that we've heard about Ben, the misunderstandings we've heard from Trina and even Blake, who played Joey. There's lots of things where I think that sometimes people assume intention in intentional behaviors. And what I mean by that, this is in no way defending them because I don't know their personal reasons, but I will say, as someone who also can kind of get busy and, you know, think, oh, that person, they're too busy for me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I just think that in general, as you said, and you've pointed out, Will, Danielle, and Ryder are very close. They have a bond and they have been working together for some time. They've reached out to Trina. You know, like, I think Maitland has chosen a career that, of course, as you said, certain people who want to work with Disney or work with kids have to just consider the optics of having someone like that on your show. And I think it's unfortunate because, in if all honesty, we know we champion sex workers here. We sex work is work, and we feel like everyone has the right to express themselves in the way that they want to. However, we also work in an industry that will absolutely hold your past against you, or even your present against you.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
So that's how I feel about it.
No, yeah, it's just, it's interesting that she said that Michael Jacobs gave her the okay, when I believe Michael Jacobs was the one who she kind of wrote about putting her into creepy situations. So
absolutely. I did find that a little weird. We're not going to pretend like that's not like some kind of weirdness.
Sure.
But yeah, I wanted to acknowledge that again. There, this has been the week of Boy Meets World.
Of hot tea. You know what's actually the one thing I do want to say about what Maitland just said? She said that she wasn't included before she even took a job in porn. Before, when she was just doing online cosplay, they felt the need to separate her from the group, which is interesting. Like, you can't say it's because of my porn career when y'all were doing it before I even did porn. So,
but that, to that point, like, let's think about how long Trina went thinking that they didn't like her. How Adam
Scott believed that Scott. Ryder hated him. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that in all honesty, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, they don't fucks with me, so I don't fucks with them. In reality, something that Danielle has kind of constantly championed is this idea of, oh, a conversation would have solved a lot. But sure. To that point, it's just like, is it on Maitland to reach out to them anymore, or should they extend?
Well, it's going to be impossible for them not to confront it as the show continues, because
that's something
she will
that they're
inevitably be a major part player on that show.
Exactly. So, looking forward to seeing how that goes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of major moments that are, let's just say, awkward, there was the Bonnie Morgan interview. Bonnie Morgan, for those of you who didn't listen, was the person who was originally cast to play Topanga. And I find that interview, she was on Pod Meets World, and her interview caused a lot of stir on the internet as well, because she announced some things, including like the background of Topanga, that actually makes sense. Like, I think the thing that I took away, one of the things that I took away from her conversation that I thought was so important, was that a lot of what she felt about was taken from her life in order to create the character of Topanga. I was like, oh, this actually makes sense, and I believe you 100%.
Yeah, because what you're referring to is that when she would do multiple callbacks, every single time she would talk a little bit more about her personal life, about how her parents were raised as hippies, as how she was kind of raised to be hippie. And every time she would come back, the character would be slightly more altered to be more hippie. And the reason why I also kind of believe that this was taken from her is because we often try to explain why Topanga has strayed so far from those hippie origins, and that's because it was literally written for someone else.
Correct.
It's just, it's so fascinating to hear that kind of insight, because it really does fill in the gaps as to why Topanga's character is so drastically different between season one and season seven.
100%. And that's what's interesting, is this idea of, I wonder how often that happens, where like a character was built around one person and then someone else gets the role.
Well, bro, we just saw Goofy movie the other day, and that power line was designed to be Bobby Brown via the appearance.
We talked about that.
He was supposed to be the singing voice, and then Bobby Brown was Bobby Brown and had multiple arrests. And so Disney was like, let's get someone safer. And then it turned into Tevin Campbell, who now owns that role in the same way that Danielle owns Topanga. So, you know, I think it probably does happen more often than we think. But in this situation, it's just so blatant that it like really did come from her.
I actually like, but to me, I feel like we kind of got an answer on Topanga, where Topanga came from. I mean, like, it's also probably one of those things where it's like all of these things layered on together is what made Topanga the right name for that character. But sure. I think that her ties and her history to it just cannot be ignored.
Well, the other interesting thing that comes out in that episode is that she had a very uncomfortable situation with David Trainer, who she felt like wanted her, I want to say, to be more sensual in her line delivery at points.
I don't think it was sensual. I think it was sweet. I think it was a little bit more wispy, a little bit more, as we talked about the other day, windy.
Well, when she retells the story, it gives off creep vibes in a way that I can't articulate when I retell it.
Well, again, like, to me, and I'm not disagreeing, like, that it gives off creep vibes. I'm saying that, like, when you're telling a child to be sweeter, to mm-hmm. be more wholesome, be more, it would be luring, but for not in a sexual way. In a, we want you to be this 12-year-old's desire. You know what I mean?
No, totally. And that's the thing, is that everything that Bonnie revealed can be looked at from two different perspectives in a way that's very difficult to make sense of. She talks about how she was let go from the job and she was told that it was because she doesn't take direction well. And then later it came out to her that they were told she wasn't pretty enough. And it's like, there's so many aspects of the story and the way she tells it, you're just like, well, I can see her point, but I can also see this person's perspective. And I can also see, based off of the other conversations of people who were on the show, how, like, you know, this journey of casting Topanga came to be. So so many elements to kind of puzzle pieces to make sense of.
And to that point, there was a lot that you guys have to think over. So please feel free, write us. What did you think about the interviews, all the interviews, the Variety interview, the Bonnie interview, the Maitland interview? Like, give us your thoughts. Let us know what you think. And that leads to our extra credit episode. You guys have heard about it, you've asked for it, and we will in fact be doing a full review of Munchie Strikes Back. I'm telling you guys, you're gonna want to listen to it. It is chaotic, it is insane. If you don't even watch the Munchie Strikes Back movie, you're gonna want to listen to this episode.
No. You should 100% watch the Munchie Strikes Back movie. Guys, you know, we did this summer movie series where we were reviewing, like, these, like, really black films. You know what? Me and Cesar were talking about it. We were like, we should do, like, a more Boy Meets World themed summer series. So that's where Munchie Strikes Back comes in. We're very excited to talk about it. We might have some more fun movies that we do in our summer movie series, but you'll just have to return and find out. But
also,
yeah.
As an added surprise for our Munchie Strikes Back episode, we have the star of Munchie Strikes Back, Natanya Ross. So come check out that episode. You're going to want to
So excited.
All right. Later, bruds.
Later, bruh.